My last teaching, Anna said, make it a good one. So I've got a lot of pressure. This is actually the last in the series of the five core values of the Vineyard Movement. And as we've been going through them, you see how each one builds, you know, on the first one is the foundation, and then each one builds on the last one. Each one builds on the previous teaching. We started out with theology and the practice of the kingdom of God. And we talked about how God's laws are different than man's laws. We talked about this like, kind of like a concentric circle sort of thing, where there's the kingdom of heaven, which is how things are done in the angelic realm. The angels, you know, the cherubim and the seraphim and all that. And we had to clarify that when the Gospels were written, you had Luke, who was writing primarily to the Gentiles, and he used the phrase, the kingdom of God, whereas someone like Mark was writing primarily to the Jews, so he used the kingdom of heaven. So we kind of got that out of the way and then talked about how, you know, we were going to use those words. Kingdom of heaven having to do with the angelic realm, and then the kingdoms of the earth, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the different nations and nationalities and ethnic groups and all these different kingdoms that are over the earth and are in some kind of power. Then we talked about the kingdom of God, which is all-encompassing, and how his laws are greater than ours. His laws supersede those of man, and like his primary law is the law of love, right? Love God, love your neighbor, love your enemy. And it's all based on that. And it ties in with today's teaching on compassion, compassionate ministry. So we started out with the kingdom of God and his laws and practice being love, and we wrap it up today with compassion. After that, we talked a little bit about experiencing God and how that's more than just experiencing him in musical worship. It's actually, like in Romans, everything that we do it for him. We use our bodies as a living sacrifice is unto the Lord. So whether we're teaching or we're cooking for our families or we're working on the car or we're doing the yard, whatever we do, whatever our jobs are, we do it as unto the Lord. And that's giving him worship. You know, the glory of God is, as has been said, the glory of God is a man fully alive, doing what we were created to do. And that's our act of worship. An act of sacrifice. Then after that, we talked a little bit about relevant ministry. Being relevant in today's society. Knowing a little bit about what's going on in the world. What's happening around us in our own communities, in our neighborhoods, with our neighbors. We see. It's like when Tammy and I were in college, we went to Simpson University out in Northern California. And it's Christian Missionary Alliance, started by A.B. Simpson. And his primary thing was missions, being a missionary. And so that when that school started, Simpson Bible College, from the Christian Missionary Alliance, that was their core thing. If you wanted to be a missionary and a productive one, you went to that school. So there's a lot of missionary kids, you know, the MKs and the PKs, and just different people who have been called to missions. And if they don't go to like YWAM or some other missions-based entity, if they go to the university to get their, you know, pastoral degrees and that sort of thing, they Rolling Thunder goes by, and it sounds really cool, doesn't it? Yeah, potato, 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 potato. Which is, I understand the sound of a Harley, right? It's a potato, potato, potato. The being relevant, the students that come to Simpson would be pretty much immersed in the history of the nation. You know, maybe they were already called to a particular place. If not, they would just, you know, I don't know where God wants me to go, but I've been called to missions, been called to the mission field. So they would learn about that nation. They would learn about, you know, cultures and that sort of thing, perhaps the language and that, you know, those types of things before they were sent out. And that's important. you know, not to just go. And we talked about how Paul, when he went to Athens at the Areopagus on Mars Hill, and he said, "Men of Athens, as I look around, I see you guys are very spiritual. And you've got a lot of different gods that cover a lot of different things in this world. But you've got a little statue over here that says to the unknown God, so I'm going to talk to you about him." So he knew their culture. He knew that they were polytheistic, and he didn't belittle them for it. He didn't say, you know, you're a bunch of pagans, you're a bunch of heathens, and you're going to hell unless you turn to God. You know, he didn't come with a fire and brimstone message. He came with compassion and love, and he talked to them about Yahweh. He talked to them about Jesus Christ and that being relevant. And there were a lot of people that said, you know what, we want to talk to you a little bit more about this. There were some that just said, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with this guy. See you later. And then we talked last week about reconciling community and what that means, being reconciled, reconciliation, and how important that is. If we have anything, if our brother has anything against us, we're to go to them, you know, and make things right before we go to the altar. And, you know, sometimes that's a hard thing to do. It's an issue of pride. We have to humble ourselves to go and to make things right. And, you know, whether if they receive us or not when we go, that's on them. But if we don't receive, if we don't forgive, you know, it's not that we forget, but we forgive. And as Tammy has said, you know, I learned this from her. When Peter came and said, "How many times do we forgive?" You know, 7 times. Because in the Jewish culture, it was, you know, forgive 6 times. Peter, you know, said, "How about 7 times?" And Jesus said, "No, it's 7 times 70, which is 490 times. And as Tammy did the study, it wasn't just, you know, you forgive them 490 times and that's it. No, you forgive them every time you think about it. Every time it comes up and you go, "I'm going to get them. No, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. I'm not going to allow that root of bitterness to come up." So today we're going to talk, hopefully quicker than I've done the review. We're going to talk about compassionate ministry, which if you go online and you see a lot of Vineyard churches, especially some of the larger Vineyard churches, they go out and they do feeding the homeless ministries. They'll go out under a bridge and they'll cook and they'll feed the homeless. They provide blankets and you know, like the Columbus Vineyard, Cincinnati, down some of the southern vineyards out in Anaheim and that, where they do a lot of things to minister to the community. And we've done some of those things, you know, but as a smaller church, a lot of times what we'll do is we'll just give, right? We give, maybe we volunteer here and there as we can. I know Angie volunteers in that. She goes out to does prison ministry, which is a beautiful thing. And that, you know, that's a step of faith and an example of compassion. So if you want to follow in your Bibles, we're going to go over a ton of verses. I'm sorry about that. But actually, I'm not sorry about it. But if you've got your little, you know, your device and you want to follow along, or you have an actual, you know, 19th century version of a Bible, you know, on paper, leather bound, and that sort of thing. You remember those old things, those books? Yeah, see? Yeah, that's ancient. You know, kids are going to grow up, you know, 50, 60 years from now, and they're not going to know what that is. Kind of like, you know, what's a record? Anyway, John 21, verse 25, it says, well, first, Jesus did a lot of things, right? He did a lot of healings. He fed people. You know, he raised people from the dead. He forgave sins. All those different kinds of things. He talked to different people that maybe the Pharisees and Sadducees wouldn't do. But in John 21, verse 25, it says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Jesus did a lot that's not in the New Testament, that's not spoken of in the letters written by Paul and Peter and James and John. Jesus did a lot more than what we see. And remember what he said? He said, "Greater works will you do in my name." And we know, you know, we know stories. We know, like, Robbie Dawkins, who goes out and prays with people, and he has seen great healings. you know, one of the guys that wrote a couple of songs that we do, Chris Lizotte, his leg grew. One of his legs grew in a prayer meeting. You know, he had a born with an issue. Tammy and I saw the results of praying for a little baby who was born with an underdeveloped brain. We saw the before x-rays, and we saw the after. And I will never, ever forget Carlos and Dixie standing up on that platform that day after the word was received. They came in on that Sunday, and he held up the x-rays, and he, with tears in his eyes, he said, "God grew my baby a brain." And it was just awesome. We know Leanne and David being healed of cancer, right? A lot of stuff. God is, he's compassionate. Jesus changed water to wine, like we sang. He cured a nobleman's son. He cast out unclean spirits. He cured Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. He healed a leper. He healed the centurion's servant, raised the widow's son from the dead, stilled the storm, cured two demoniacs, cured the paralytic, cured a woman of an issue of blood, opened the eyes of two blind men, loosened the tongue of a man who could not speak, healed an invalid man at the pool called Bethesda, restored a withered hand. It goes on and on and on. All of these things that Jesus did, and he did it out of love. He did it out of compassion. The full definition of compassion, you know, I love to do this. I love to give words. And the full definition of compassion is sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. So we see others who are in a need, and we have this, man, I wish I could do something. I want to do something to help them. You know, we hear about earthquakes and floods. We see people trapped on their roofs. You know, when a hurricane comes by and the place is flooded and they're up on their roofs, and it's like, then you see the squalor that they have to live in. Or we see, you know, pictures from third world countries. We hear a story about a plane that was flying and crashed, and 224 souls were lost. And we, you know, the Russian people, we wonder, what are they experiencing right now? These people who just lost their family members. Men, women, little kids, snuffed out in an instant. We can have compassion for them, empathy, sympathy. We want to do something. We want to help. Compassion is a noun, is a feeling of distress and pity for the suffering or misfortune of another, often including the desire to alleviate it. It comes from the Latin compassio, means to suffer. It means to bear, to suffer. How many of us have seen the Passion of the Christ? You know, why do they call it the Passion of the Christ? It's because of that word that means it has to do with suffering. It has to do with bearing someone else's suffering. Jesus took our sin. He took our suffering upon himself at the cross. It was because of his great love. It was because of his joy set before him that he endured the cross, right? He saw us. He saw every soul that had been born. He saw every soul that was alive at that time. He saw every soul that would come after that moment. He saw us, and it was because of the joy set before him that he went to the cross. It was because of his compassion. He saw that we were living in squalor, in our own sin, in our own filth, and he wanted to do something. And he had compassion. Just like he looked out over Jerusalem and he had compassion on the people. He taught the people and he had compassion on them. And he said, we need to get these people something to eat. In Psalm 145, starting in verse 8. Psalm 145, verse 8. And we sang the lyrics of this psalm. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are all over his works. The Lord is gracious and merciful. That word is compassionate in other versions. He is gracious. He's got a lot of grace. You know, where sin abounds, grace abounds that much more, right? So I've got a lot of grace poured out over me, you know, because I'm a better sinner than y'all. I've just done a lot of stuff. And I mean, we're not going to share all that, but He's gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger and great in loving kindness, great in mercy. He's patient with us. Here's just a brief overview. You know, we talked a little bit about what Jesus did, the great miracles that he did, and because he had compassion. Here's some of the things the disciples did. After being trained, after they watched Jesus, he sent them out. You remember the 70 that he sent out? And they came back telling these great things. You know, we cast out demons in your name. We saw people healed. All, you know, there was probably a great list of things that they saw happen. And these guys were excited. I know I would be. I would be excited, to, you know, where Jesus just says, all right, you guys, you've been watching me now for all this time. Go on out and then bring me back a report. There was one person, one disciple that they didn't know really, who was casting out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. And John was pretty jealous. He's like, hey, there's this guy over here doing these miracles, doing this stuff. And Jesus said, you know what, let him go. He who is for us, you know, he who is with us is not against us. He's a part of us. Let him go. Let him do his thing. That's part of reconciliation for us. There's other churches out there. A lot of churches come from splits. You know, we have to have reconciliation. And so, you know what? They do things. They're a different flavor. They're a different member of the body of Christ. They're a different part. They speak to people in a different way. We speak to some in a different way than they do. There were supernatural acts of the disciples after Jesus went to heaven. And he said, remember in Acts, he said, wait in Jerusalem. Before Jesus ascended, he told the disciples, wait in Jerusalem because you're going to be given power from on high. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And so they waited after he ascended. And it happened to be on the day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after the crucifixion, the resurrection. 50 days. And at that point, we know the story, you know, second chapter of Acts. We know people, you know, the fire appeared over their head, tongues of fire, and they spoke in tongues, and the Holy Spirit came. Peter did a great teaching. Kind of corny, but we know, you know, that line from Spider-Man, you know, the Jewish superhero, Spider-Man. Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. Jesus said, you will be endued, you will be given great power. There's a balance, like we talked about spirit and truth, worshiping God in spirit and truth. We've been given great power, but we have to have compassion. Last night, Tam and I were watching one of the old TV shows, Superman, with George Reeves. I don't know if you guys ever saw that show, but we were watching it. It's on Wii TV, and it's like, you know, I love to go back and, I become a little kid again, watching Superman in black and white. And it got to this point where there was a fight, and Superman was, you know, punching these guys, beating them up. And I'm like, man, wouldn't their head go flying off? Wouldn't he punch him, and they would just die instantly because he's so strong. He can stop a bullet, you know. He's faster than a speeding bullet. He can stop a train. He can spin the earth back around. Superman is just, wow. He's got great power. But I think in that moment, I'm like, you know what? This is like Jesus Christ with us. He's given us great power, but we handle it with compassion. And I'm thinking, you know, he pulled the punch. It was like a fly tap. He held back. That's how I kind of think of it. Yeah, I'm crazy. I know. A little wacky. Yeah. No, he didn't, which is amazing, you know. But he would always duck when they threw the gun. You know, I mean, that just blows my mind. You know, it's like, you know, fire six shots. The revolver's empty, so the crook throws the gun at him. And he's like, bing, 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 bing. You know, and he's, oh, the gun. I don't understand. You know, so kryptonite and guns hurled at him were the things that brought Superman down. Jesus told his disciples, this is in Acts chapter 2, stay in Jerusalem, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. we minister with compassion. We talked a little bit about, you know, in experiencing God, we talked about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and the acts of the sinful nature, the deeds of the sinful nature are obvious. Deeds comes from doing. We do sin. It's something that we do. The fruit of the Spirit just happens when we begin to operate, when we begin to just do the stuff. In our lives. It happens. An apple tree doesn't have to really do anything to grow apples. You know, it just happens. It brings up water and nutrients and does what it's supposed to do. Cows do what they're supposed to do. Chickens do what they're supposed to do. We've been given a lot of different gifts. And they're all based in compassion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul talks about, if I have the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. And he goes through this litany of things about love. And he always says, if I don't have love, you know, if I do all these things, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. So we can have this power of God. We can have these gifts. But if we don't operate from love, it's pretty much worthless. So as we move into the third act here, closing, getting close to the close, I want to share a few scriptures. Colossians 3:12 says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." Colossians 3:12. Put on compassionate hearts. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped and beat him. And there was a man from Samaria who was walking around, the Good Samaritan. And when he saw this man laying in a ditch, all bloodied and beaten and stripped up naked, he had compassion. And he took the guy, and he took him to an inn and said, 'Here, I'm going to pay for this guy. He needs a place to recuperate.' And he got the oil and all, and he cleaned the man up. And he gave him some money to take care of this guy. He had compassion. He did something. He didn't just walk by and go, 'Oh, guy got beat up. I don't have time.' He took the time. He wasn't like a Pharisee. Because the Pharisees were the ones that would see the Samaritan and cross the road, go to the other side and say, 'Don't want to have anything to do with those people.' Like James, you know, talks about the unclean, the beggar, the poor one who comes to the church, and you say, 'Okay, well, you sit over here in the back. You know, you smell a little bit. You just sit in the back.' Jesus said, 'No, you bring, you know, like at the seat of honor.' James said, 'No, you bring them down front. You give them the place of honor.' 1 Corinthians 13, 'If I give all I have, if I deliver my body up to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing.' 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him. This is talking about those who have sinned. If someone you see, you know, they're caught up in a sin, we're not to judge. If you remember back talking about the sins of the deeds of the sin nature, it's not a judgmental thing because we're all guilty. So we don't look at someone and have judgment. We need to have compassion and mercy, and we receive them just like Jesus did for us. He understands. He understands where we're coming from. Oh God, insolent men, this is Psalm 86. Insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seek my life. But you, O Lord, are a God of mercy and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. People will come against us, but God will have compassion. 1 Corinthians 16, this is where we get into a touchy subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 24, talk about tithes and offerings and alms. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem." Paul was saying on the first day of the week, you know, you guys bring as you have, as he gives you, you know, as the Lord gives you blessing, bring, and we'll distribute it. We'll see that needs are met, that stuff's taken care of. God loves a cheerful giver. God wants us to give out of compassion. Remember the woman, the widow, who didn't have anything? She had the widow's mite. She had like a couple of pennies or a half penny or whatever it would have been. And she put everything she had into that offering. And Jesus said, that's greater. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and these religious people are dividing up a tenth of everything. They put all of their spices together, all of their grains together, and they measure out in exactly a tenth to give to the Lord. It's not how he wants us to do it. He wants us to give with compassion, to have a cheerful heart. In Romans 12, we're to contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. The tithe was commanded. Tithe means tenth, okay? That was commanded before the law was given. God told Abraham to set aside a tenth. And then it was brought up, Moses brought that concept in the law. And what it was designed for was to help to provide for those in need, those who were hungry, those who needed clothing, those who needed housing, shelter. That's what it was for. It was to take care of the temple and the priests. We were to take care of one another, to bear one another's burdens. And we don't give out of our lack. We give out of what we have. We use what is in our hand. You know, well, if I only had more, then I would do this. You know, you start with the old cliche of, well, I'll pray for you. But then you make the call or you send the email or the text. Then you show up. Maybe you volunteer for an hour or so. You go and do something. People who come here and, you know, you set up tables and it's just amazing, you know, this small church, how much you guys give. This is the first church, honest to God, that Tammy and I have been a part of where it's more than 10% of the people doing 90% of the work. Most churches we go to, it's 10% of the people who are in that church that do 90% of everything that has to be done in that place. Here, it's 100% of the people that do what needs to be done. At any given time, people are doing stuff around here, and that just blows me away. In Deuteronomy 16, God says, "Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord that your God has given to you." That's all he expects. That's all he expects. In Galatians 2:10, Paul tells us he was charged by the Christian leadership in Jerusalem that as he went out to give the gospel to the Gentiles, he was to remember the poor. And he was glad to do it. Remember, Paul at one point went to Jerusalem. He had been saved. He went through the whole baptism and the scales coming off his eyes. He went to Jerusalem to make sure that he was teaching, you know, proclaiming the gospel according to the way it should be done. And they said, you know what, Paul, you're great. We're going to send you out among the Gentiles. But all we want you to do is remember the poor. And he did that everywhere he went. He was as merciful and compassionate as Jesus was. He poured out his heart and his life for others to the point of martyrdom, right? And we see that in the disciples that walked with Christ as well. Now here's the famous one we all know. This is Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 through 46. Matthew 25. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to relay the story. Jesus talked about a king in this parable. And he talks about, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you came to visit me. When I was sick. You know that litany of things that is laid out? When I was in this place, when I was in this condition, you came and you did this. You met my need. You came and spent time with me. And they said, when did we do this? And it's like, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. The people out there, us here, were a part of Jesus Christ. And whenever we minister to someone, we're ministering to Jesus. We're doing it as unto him. And remember the other side of the story? Rabbinical teaching will do that. They'll give you one side, and then they'll give the opposite mirror image of that same story. Rabbinical teaching. And Jesus said, when I was sick, you didn't care for me. When I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. When I was in prison, you didn't come to visit me. You just left me alone. And they said, when did we do that? Whatever you've done unto the least of me, of these, or whatever you haven't done, that's how you treated me. That's it in a nutshell, right? That's my paraphrase. Closing up with two thoughts. When Tammy and I were at the worship leaders retreat last month, there's this one young lady that we know who, she's a single mom. She's got a couple kids. Obviously, if she's a single mom, she's got kids, right? But we had an opportunity to talk with her, and I said, you know, I see the stuff that you post on the Vineyard Worship Leaders page, private page. I see the stuff you post there, and we're friends on Facebook. I said, I see the stuff that you post there, and I just want to tell you, you're a great mom. You know, I see the evidence, the stuff that you do with your children. You're a great mom, and I want to just, you know, I see how the people of your church come around you and help to take care of you and lift you up. And I said, it's a beautiful thing to see your church operate this way. And she began to cry. Right? She began to cry. As I said, you know, in the book of James, James talks about the kind of religion that God accepts is pure and without fault is that we take care of widows and orphans. And a single mom is like a widow, okay? Because the dad's gone. And the child is like an orphan. And I went through that, honestly. When my dad was in prison, my mother was a single mom for that period of time. And the church across the street, the Presbyterians, and our family helped to take care of us. There were a lot of things I didn't learn until I was much older, you know, of how many people actually helped my mother get through this stuff, being without her husband for so long. You know, those moms, you know, who have a husband who's in the military, they go on deployment. For that period of time, it's like they're a widow, you know. They got to take care of the kids on their own. But there's hopefully a support group, community of people that understand and empathize and help to take care of. So the kind of religion that God finds is pure and blameless is that we take care of widows and orphans. And each one of us can be considered a widow or a widower if we're apart from Jesus Christ, if we're not part of that the body of Christ, the bride. And each one of us at one point in time can be considered an orphan. We're in need. We have a great need. And we can empathize with those, right? The last one, Zechariah chapter 7. And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgment, show kindness and mercy to one another, do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. And let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. He tells us to have mercy and compassion on the widow, the orphan, the alien among us, the poor, the people who are in need. And so this morning as we wrap it up, this is one of the core values of the Vineyard movement. It's something that John Wimber thought was very important, compassionate ministry, having a heart for the poor, having a heart for those in need, to be like Jesus. What can we do? Like Don's teaching, you know, about Moses, when the Lord said, what is in your hand? We've got something that we can give. We've got energy. We can do something. One of my brothers from years ago who's in a wheelchair, and I told him, I said, you know, I'm going to do things because I have the capacity within my body to do those things that you can't. And I remember that. And I'm going to live like I can because I can, and do it for the Lord. So as we prepare to break bread this morning and we meet with our guests, you guys spend time with them. You know, take a look at the tables. Know what's going on within our community. There's people who collect food, who get money to buy more food, to feed those who are in need. Maybe you've been through a time in your life. There was a time in our life for me and Tammy. We'd come home from church, and there'd be 5 or 6 bags of groceries sitting in front of our door. I remember one time somebody came and just grabbed my guitar. They took my 12-string. And I'm like, what are you doing? Shut up. I'm like, all right. I trusted him. I trusted Greg. Came back, and he had put a fret job on it, brand-new machine heads, a new nut, a new saddle. It was like a brand new guitar. Another girl we know took my violin. Same thing. It was like it was sitting there at the church, and she just took it and brought it back. And it was, wow, had the work done that it needed to be done. New horsehair on the bow. We'd go out to our truck. We had a little Isuzu pickup. We'd go out there, and there'd be bags of groceries. Someone would say, you know what? The Lord told me you guys need money for insurance for your car, for your truck. Somebody else said, I was looking at your vehicle there. You need new tires. Come on, let's go over there. What? Yeah, come on, let's go. Go to the Firestone dealership, and they just buy us a set of tires. Stuff like that happens. People take care of other people. And that's what we're called to do. So, Father, I thank you that you have given us this ministry of compassion, that you have called us when we see others in need, that we can give out of what we have. We can serve you with our bodies. We can serve one another by helping someone move. We can be there when they're in the hospital to minister to them, to be there for them, to hold their hand. We can be there to listen. If someone's going through a divorce or they've lost a child, they've been given a diagnosis, we can be there. If they've lost their job and they need something, we can give out of what we have. I thank you that there's ministries in our community who've come together. And for my brothers and sisters sitting here, Lord, I don't want to be, well, I'm going to be political. It's not the government's job to take care of others. You've called us to do it as individuals and as a church, to go out there and take care of people. I thank you for places, for organizations that are in our community, like Thrive, like the York County and Pocosin Social Services. I thank you so much for Lackey Free Clinic. We've seen so many people who've received medical care and prescriptions from that place. I thank you for those who are here today in this building. I know who have served in different capacities, who've given of their time. Prison ministry, serving at Lackey, serving at Thrive, doing the stuff. Every little thing helps. Whether we're collecting food or putting together money or saving paper bags, all that stuff helps, even if it's just a little bit. Father, have your way here again as we break bread together. I pray that you would bless the food to our bodies and that you would bless those who prepared, who brought. We give you all praise and all glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yeah.